We shall turn now to the portion of God's Word read, Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13. We may read again from the verse 8. Hebrews, chapter 13, from verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. These are truly amazing words, and I trust that the Spirit of God at the beginning of this year would direct our minds and open our understanding of their great significance. Jesus Christ is the individual spoken of, and what is stated of him cannot possibly be stated of anyone else. He is the same yesterday and today and will be forever. And that is something that ought to be a great anchor to the soul of the child of God, whatever their lot, whatever their experiences, whatever changes they pass through. They have this, that there is one who has been, as he is, and will ever be in the future to his people. Now, we need to understand what is meant here in the context when the apostle writes of the Savior in this fashion. Sometimes the words are lifted out of their context, and that sometimes leads to erroneous thinking as to the meaning of the words. But as we consider them, there are certain things that obviously should be clear to us. And the first thing that we may note is that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is obviously to be considered in his immutability. If he is the same yesterday and today and forever, it means there's no possibility of any change, and therefore our attention is drawn to his immutability. But then, because this is true, then we may with confidence apply these words in our own experience, knowing of his reliability. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever, means he's absolutely reliable. We can have perfect confidence in the unchanging Redeemer. And then, because of our lot and to whom these words are directed by the Holy Spirit, we then can understand their suitability. We live ourselves in the experience of consistent, constant change. Every one of us are different at the end of the year that has passed to what we were when we begun. We're all experiencing many different kinds of changes. And we all have to recognize that. Maybe some of the changes are profitable. Maybe some of them are disappointing and we wish they weren't happening, but they do. But what a blessed truth this is, one that we can turn to at the beginning of this year, one that we can focus our minds upon. And where could we start better than here? Where could we look to one better described than this? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, as I said, in considering his immutability, we need to understand the context in which we make that statement. This whole epistle is about the superiority of Christ as the great high priest of our profession. Now, absolutely, the Son of God is immutable. That's one of his eternal divine attributes. He is immutable because he is God, and he says, with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, I change not. If he was not immutable, he would not be God, he would not be divine. But you and I know, reading the scriptures, that the Son of God, because he came into this world, he did experience changes through his humanity. The experience of humbling himself. He who was eternally at one with the Father, in the bosom of the Father from all eternity, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And he took to himself a true body and a reasonable soul so that he was actually born. And he experienced what it is to come forth from his earthly mother's womb. He passed through the experience of every child that has entered this world. And then we read that when he was 12 years of age, he was in the temple with the doctors. He had gone to the worship with his parents. He became a child of 12 years old. He passed through the changes that every child passes through in those years. And then he was baptized and he began his earthly ministry. He began a ministry that previously he was not engaged in. He gathered disciples around him that previously had no association with him. He experienced persecution from the religious authorities, the Sanhedrin, the high priest, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so on. These were the experiences that he had as he lived in this scene of time, as he grew, as he developed, and he died, he was crucified, he rose again, he ascended on high. So in that sense, he experienced changes, just as his brethren do, was made like unto his brethren. He knew what it was to live, he knew what it was to die. He knew what it was to be hungry. He knew what it was to be thirsting. He knew what it was to be wearied and tired. He knew all those experiences. And therefore, as far as that is concerned, he was mutable. His humanity was real. But he took that body and that reasonable soul to himself. He who was eternally God, he could know no change in his relationship with his Father. He would ever be the Son. He was eternally and would ever be yesterday and today and forever the eternal Son of the Father, the Father's well-beloved Son. And he was God of very God while he was man of very man. But in the context in which we find these words, what is the apostle really referring to? This is all about, this epistle, the superiority of Christ. Superior to Moses. Superior to Abraham. Superior to David, superior to the kings, superior to Melchizedek, superior to Aaron, superior to the priesthood, and so on. And that's the context, because all these persons, however high ranking they were in the scheme of redemption, whatever contributions they made to the advancement of the cause of God, they passed away. They left this world. They were born into it. They grew up in it. They did good or ill, and they passed from it. And in particular, while at the beginning of the epistle we have the deity of the Son of God stressed, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners speak in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath ordained heir of all things, by whom also he created the worlds. And there you have the deity of the Redeemer stressed before we go anywhere else. The angels are required to worship him who has come into this world and is now found in a fashion they never witnessed before. But that deity is stressed so that we would grasp the superiority of him in his holy offices belonging to the Redeemer. And the high priest of the Old Testament, the priesthood constantly changed. And we might read of a priest yesterday, and then we read of another one today, and then we find there are to be more in the future. Tomorrow, it'll be a different priest. Even Aaron will pass away, and his sons will pass on, and the priesthood will alter when you go back to the chapter 7 of this same epistle. The focus is upon the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we read verse 23 to get the connection. They truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue. They just couldn't continue. They had to retire even at a certain age. Such was the importance of the work of the priesthood. They were not suffered to continue, so that whoever was priest yesterday is not priest today and certainly will not be tomorrow. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. That is the only place we'll find this term here regarding Christ. No one else has such a reference made regarding them. Hath an unchanging. No, hath an unchangeable. It just could not possibly change. It is just impossible. Unchangeable. If something is unchangeable, that's different to something being unchanging. It may not change now, but it may change in the future. But that which is unchangeable is immutable. And this is particularly, I believe, what the apostle has in mind, directing the minds of the people of God to the great high priest, whose priesthood does not change, whose priesthood cannot change. It is impossible. And while we go through the epistle to the Hebrews, we see him in his glory ascending on high. He enters not into the holy place made with hands, but he enters into heaven itself. And there in his unchangeable priesthood, he lives to intercede for his people. He lives for them. He controls the angels. He orders their service. But he lives for his people. Now isn't that something to take with you into the year that lies before us in the will of God? There's somebody living on my behalf. He's interceding for me before the Father. And while the devil comes and casts doubts into the minds of his people, they can turn and they can consider his immutable priesthood. It won't change. If he prayed for me yesterday, he's praying for me now. And if he's praying for me now, it'll still be the same till I draw my last breath in this world. He's unchangeable. He's never going to desert his ministry. He's never going to abandon his people. He's the same. He has the same nature, the same priesthood, because he has the same qualifications and the same qualities. His blood doesn't change. If it atoned for my sin yesterday, it's atoning for my sin now, and it will atone for my sin even when I go stumbling in the days in the will of the Lord before me. That's the great, great privilege and blessing of the child of God. We are directed in this very epistle to the Hebrews to be looking in a certain direction. In the previous chapter 12, we are to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, keeping our focus there. Maybe we would have to look back and see in the year that has passed, some of us might say we lost focus. And we get carried away here and we get carried away there. And we lost our focus. And we weren't looking where we should have been. As we commence this year, this is where we are to be looking and to whom we are to be looking. And to be considering, when we look by faith, he's going to be the same. We're never going to look and find, he's changed. We're not going to look and be disappointed. He's not the same as he was yesterday. This is the glorious truth to encourage the people of God when they look here. It'll be different to looking in any other direction. We've looked in the year that has passed. And we've been disappointed here and disappointed there. Discouraged here and discouraged there. Why? Because we're looking at circumstances. We're looking at people. We're looking at attitudes. We're looking at all kinds of everything instead of looking here. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. But that means that he's absolutely reliable. My, isn't that something to have such a one accompanying us in the year before us. I don't know who I'll be able to trust. I don't know who I'll be able to rely upon. But here is one that I most definitely can rely upon. I can trust him with all my heart. I can rely absolutely upon him, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wasn't my friend yesterday to desert me today. And he isn't going to look into the future and then leave me to my own devices because he sees trouble ahead of me. I shall be able to continue my journey up through the wilderness, leaning upon the beloved. And he's never going to shake me off his arm. And he's never going to say, I'm tired of you. I'm weary of you. You're a burden to me. My, wouldn't that be something? If the blessed Savior were to turn, say, you're a burden to me. I'm weary carrying the load of responsibility for you. He's the same yesterday. And he is still the same today as he was yesterday. And he's still saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's where the rest of the soul will be, with himself. And when you and I begin to become disturbed and upset and annoyed and tried and so on, what are we to do? Turn to this blessed one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he will be absolutely reliable. And he will not desert his people who trust in him. Now, we all know from experience, we're all human and we pass through the experiences of life. And when we look, the older we get, the further we can look back. And we think, well, I relied on him, he let me down. I trusted her, she let me down. I'm disappointed with them. I'm disappointed with her. But am I, will you ever turn to Christ and say, I'm disappointed with you? You will never. Never, never, never. Oh, you may not understand his dealings with you. You may be mystified by his providences. But you will never be able to say, I'm disappointed in my Savior. He is not to me what I thought he would be. He has not done for me what I expected him to do. Jesus Christ, to know him and to trust him, to commit everything to him, the same yesterday. Now, when we consider these words, we just don't consider Jesus Christ and what everything else in the Bible states regarding him. But he is Jesus Christ yesterday. So we look back. You look back, yesterday's past. And you look back to yesterday. And what did the Savior do? What did he do yesterday? He came into this world for you. He went to Calvary for you. That's his yesterday as far as you and I are concerned in our experience. He laid down his life for you because he loved you. He shed his blood to atone for your sin. He ascended up on high. These were the experiences of his yesterday. He is today exalted. Now you look back and consider what all he did for you. And you be saying, come here, I'll tell what he did for my soul, the things he did for me. Now it would be sad if There is no yesterday in our experience. We don't know what Christ did on yesterday. We don't know that he forgave us our sins. We don't know that he applied the blood of sprinkling to our consciences. We don't know that he received us as guilty sinners. We don't know that he actually died to save sinners. His yesterday means nothing to us. Well, if that is the case, then today he will mean nothing to us. And you see, you cannot disconnect the two. He is the same yesterday and today. But you and I can't say, I am the same today as I was yesterday. I have failed. I have fallen. I have not been consistent. I have not been true. I have let Christ down. And yet, though we would have to admit that we are not the same yesterday, today and forever, who would dare to boast like poor Simon Peter? There he was. Should all men forsake thee? Not me. I'm reliable. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. There I'll be. There I'll be standing. If I'm all alone, there I'll be standing beside my Savior. I'll be the same tomorrow as I think I am now. Ah, Peter. Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And Peter, if it weren't for my prayers, your tomorrow would be a very, very bleak tomorrow. We have to acknowledge that this Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is a marvelous Savior. Because when we're not what we should be, he is ever what he will ever be. Yesterday, today, well, what are we today? What are we today, this first day of this year that we've entered? What are we? In comparison to what he is, what are we? Unworthy, unprofitable, undeserving. My, we have to hang our heads in shame, every one of us, haven't we? Because we've nothing to boast of. We've nothing to glory in. We've everything to be ashamed of. Our sins testify against us. What we are today, do we think that'll do for all eternity? Do we think I'll be a happy man in 2019, if God spares me? I'll be a happy woman. I'll be a happy child if I can continue just what I am now. Don't we all want to improve, or at least we ought to? Wouldn't we desire that 2019, God willing, would be a better year spiritually? That it would be more profitable? That we would demonstrate more grace, more Christ-likeness? That we would be more conformed to his word? That we would be more submissive to his divine revealed will? Isn't that surely what we would desire? But don't we know from experience that there is a body of sin cleaving to us? Don't we know that we groan, haven't you, child of God, groaned so often last year? Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched woman, God pity you if you didn't of that. Oh, wretched creature that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And we have to acknowledge that the future, if it is going to depend on our consistency, our faithfulness, our reliability, well, it's going to be a very disappointing year. If the church of Jesus Christ is going to be dependent on us, it's certainly not going to be very successful, because we are so unreliable. But what a blessed Savior we have. The great head and king of the church, absolutely reliable. The one who is the great shepherd, and this is what we have him referred to in this very chapter, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, that great shepherd. What a wonderful thing to be under his care. The great shepherd, the good shepherd. Hasn't he been good? Hasn't he been the good shepherd to your soul? Has he ever done you any harm? Has he ever done you any ill? Has he ever led you in the wrong direction? Oh, you've wandered, you've rebelled, you've refused to be submissive, but still he remains the great shepherd, calling his own sheep by name and leading them forward, going before them. The great shepherd of the sheep, the great shepherd of the sheep. What a sad situation to be in if we're not of his sheep. Wandering forth into this year without a shepherd. Not knowing what a day will bring forth. Having to rely upon our own resources. Having to depend on our own reasoning and our own intellect. Relying on her own arm of flesh. This is the great shepherd that is the same yesterday, today and forever. What a wonderful way to begin the year. Great shepherd is calling me to follow him. Not my own notions, not my own opinions, not my own wisdom, but he's calling me to focus on him and to follow him. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, means that he is most suitable. What suitability for our needs is here? Don't we begin to feel as we enter this year, and we experience the infirmities and the frailties of old age, perhaps, and we experience the trials and the tribulations of life, because the scripture tells us man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. He's born unto trouble and he can't escape it. But nevertheless, there is one most suitable as his companion, most suitable as his friend, most suitable, as we said, as the great shepherd of the soul, most suitable in a world of change that is experiencing tremendous changes, many for better, but many for worse. And to find the heart rejoicing in the midst of everything, I find one who's the same yesterday, today and forever. And there is a stability then, you see, when the heart grasps this. This is the anchor, to anchor my soul. If the whole world were to crumble around me, God in the midst of her doth dwell. Nothing shall her remove. That's the safety of the church, of Jesus Christ. Now, why is that? Because the church is strong. No, the church is weak. Is it because there are great saints around who are unusually godly in the midst of a godless society? Is that the reason for it? No. It is because of Christ himself. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And because of that, he secures the future of his church. How, if he were to change, where would our hope be? If he were not reliable, what confidence could we have? When we see the mighty power of the enemies of the gospel, when we see the onslaught of the kingdom of darkness arrayed against Christ's bride in this world, my, where would we be? What hope would we have if we didn't believe this? Glorious Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one whom the reformers trusted. The one whose kingship the covenanters died for. The one that Whitfield preached. The one that Spurgeon preached. The one that Jonathan Edwards preached. The one that Peter preached. He's the same. He hasn't changed, and therefore we have a glorious gospel in this year 2019, and it's the same gospel as Abraham had. When Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees in John 8, what did he say? They were claiming, we are Abraham's seed. We're not born of fornication, we're Abraham's seed. We know where we come from. As for this man, we know not whence he is. What did Jesus say? Abraham saw my day. My, what a distance lies between Abraham's day and the Savior's day. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Before he was, does the Savior say, before he was, I was? Not at all. Before he was, I am. And I am just the same in Paul's day, or Stephen's day, or Timothy's day. I am exactly the same today as I was to Abraham. And Abraham saw my day. Oh, he saw his own day. And he saw the sins of his own day. And he saw the idolatry of his own day. And he saw the depravity of his own day. But he saw another day. He rejoiced when he saw it. When he got his mind focused on the glorious Messiah. All the things that were disappointing to him. All the things that were alarming. All the things that would naturally concern him. Began to evaporate because he got his eyes on Christ. He saw my day and he was rejoicing when he saw. It brought peace, it brought joy into his heart. And while we will see undoubtedly changes in society and the people of God will grieve, why are the legislators legislating for more sin? Why are they defying the God of heaven and breaking his law? Why are they trampling his precepts under their feet? And naturally, there's a concern. But to see Christ's day, and to see that he's in control, and to see that he's on the throne, and he's ruling, and he's reigning, and he's keeping and preserving his church. And my dear friend, the one thing that the devil will want to do, and he's so successful at doing it, is taking our focus away from this one. That's what he wants to do. And he will do it in the congregation. And he will do it in the church of Christ. And he'll get hold of the mind of his child and he'll try to redirect it. Focus here. Focus on this. Focus on that. Focus on these. Focus on them. Focus here. Focus there. But whatever you do, don't focus on Christ. Concentrate on something else. Use your energy for that and this and the other. Here's where our focus must be. It must be here. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. It's easy to lose sight of him. It's easy to see so many other things coming in to take him away out of our thoughts and indeed out of our hearts. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, forever. What a blessed word to take with us into this year in the divine will of God. But will we keep looking to him? Will we focus upon him? Or will many days be wasted in the year before us because of our foolish focusing on something else? Here is what will give the heart and the soul pleasure and will give the heart and the soul peace, because this is part, if not the very heart, of why he is altogether lovely. Why he is the altogether lovely one. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, we thank thee for such a Savior as is set before us in thy holy word. Have mercy on those who have entered this year ignorant of him, who do not know him, who are still trusting to their own devices, leaning in the arm of flesh, hanging on to their own self-righteousness. Lord, have mercy on such. Bring them to see as they've never seen before that one who is the same forever. And bless thy people that amidst all that disturbs them and troubles them, that they would keep their eyes focused here and their minds and their hearts focused upon him who did not feel them in the year that has passed, who has never felt them once throughout life's journey, and who will not feel them to the end of time, nor throughout eternity. Oh, do thou, by thy gracious Spirit, apply thy holy, inspired word to us, and receive us and pardon us for the Redeemer's sake. Amen.